This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
In and around the constellation Sagittarius, a discovery, thanks to the Gaia spacecraft, a discovery that takes us to the very beginning of our very lucky and very beautiful Milky Way. I welcome Dr. Ken Croswell, the author of The Alchemy of the Heavens and other distinguished astronomy books, but right now reporting in Science News, new information of this discovery in and around the constellation Sagittarius. Ken, a very good evening to you. What has the Max Planck Institute found, and what does it mean? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, this is very exciting work that I report about at Science News, and it really focuses on one of the themes of my book, The Alchemy of the Heavens. How did this great galaxy that we now inhabit, and that gave rise to the Sun and the Earth and to wonderful beings like you and me, how did it all start? And what the scientists have found with the help of data from the Gaia spacecraft is the proto-galaxy that made the Milky Way. It's the original nucleus of the Milky Way. It's the kernel around which our great galaxy later grew. And so now that we've identified these stars, and there's 18,000 of them that have been studied, that have been identified in this new study, we can observe them further for additional details about the Milky Way's birth and its earliest evolution. So it's an exciting piece of work, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more observations of these stars in the future.
The age is so-called of, if time can be used here, the age is 12.5 to 13 or 13.4 billion years ago. That's very early. And I want to imagine what we looked like that early on. How did this come together? Where did it find its strength?
Well, computer simulations of large galaxies and how they formed, and we live in a very large galaxy, suggests that a large galaxy begins its life when you have maybe two or three or five clumps of stars and gas that come together. Okay, each one of those clumps might have millions of stars. This proto-galaxy that has been identified by the scientists, as I report in Science News, has a stellar mass of about 100 million solar masses, 100 million times as massive as the Sun. And so but right now what they observe is a round population that has a diameter of about 18,000 light years, but if we could go back in time to when that proto-galaxy was coming together, it probably wouldn't be round. It'd probably instead be, we'd probably see several clumps of the stars and the gas. They're giving birth to more stars. So that's probably what we would have seen if we could have observed the Milky Way, let's say 13 or 13.5 billion years ago.
And that those clumps were happening everywhere, not just with us, but we're the lucky ones to be in a galaxy that develops over 12.5 billion years ago. All right, let's come to today. Looking back, they're using the Gaia spacecraft, which was launched. Its mission is to chart, to take an audit of the Milky Way. How did they find the proto-galaxy? In other words, how did you find your own nursery?
Yeah, this is not an easy thing to do, obviously. The Milky Way is now a huge galaxy. And what these astronomers did is they look toward the central part of the Milky Way. Okay, now a very wide region, just not just the very heart of the Milky Way, but in and around that region, in what's called the galactic bulge. It's the central bulge of the Milky Way galaxy. Lots of stars there, probably some 10 billions of stars there. And what these astronomers were looking for were the relatively few stars that had low abundances of metals. Metals form in stars. Iron, for example, magnesium, calcium, things like that, they all formed in stars. And so the very earliest stars are going to have very few metals because there were very few earlier generations of stars to make those metals. So what these astronomers did is they identified the relatively few stars in the central region of the Milky Way that had metal to hydrogen ratios less than 3% of the sun's abundance of the of metals. And then they further looked at the motions of those stars. That's data that Gaia provides. And they only wanted the stars in that metal poor population that stayed in the central region within the protogalaxy. We know that there are other parts of the Milky Way that are metal poor, in particular the stellar halo of the Milky Way, lots of metal poor stars. And there are stars that are in the stellar halo that have highly elliptical orbits. So at their farthest point, they may be much farther from the galactic center than the sun is, but they dive into the galactic center, kind of like a comet on a highly elliptical orbit around the sun, dives toward the sun. But these scientists didn't want those stars because those stars aren't from the original protogalaxy. So in the end, they ended up with 18,000 ancient stars spread over 18,000 light years of space. And this is the original nucleus of the Milky Way, the protogalaxy that gave birth to the Milky Way.
What of these stars? What kind are they? Are they main sequence, such as our sun? Are they, they're very old. What do they look like, Ken?
These astronomers deliberately chose to look only for red giants. Okay, a red giant star is a cool star. It's a luminous star, highly luminous, typically about 100 times as bright as the sun. The reason they chose red giants is simply because they're easy to see. There are surely lots of fainter stars in the protogalaxy, but it's not easy to see faint stars at these large distances. So they chose the red giants because they're easy to see. Also, it turns out it's fairly easy to measure the metal abundances in red giant stars. So for those two reasons, they chose a sample of red giant stars. The sun is not a red giant, but it will someday, you know, if you wait 6 billion years or thereabouts, the sun will expand and its surface will cool. It will become a lot brighter. But right now, of course, the sun is simply a main sequence star. And there are surely main sequence stars in this protogalaxy. In fact, we presume that most of the stars in this protogalaxy are main sequence stars. But again, those are not going to be so easy to see as these red giants are.
And at, over the course of the 12.5 to 13.5 billion years ago, were stars being formed in this protogalaxy and then they formed stars? In other words, they were giving birth and they no longer give birth. Is that how to think of it?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the star formation at some point had to shut off. And so the original protogalaxy, these stars, they all arose more than 12.5 billion years ago. Of course, the Milky Way still to this day makes new stars, but that's not going on in this protogalaxy.
I want to understand what I've learned from you about our Milky Way, elements of our Milky Way. I'll start at the center. The center of our Milky Way is a whale of a black hole, Sagittarius A star. Did Sagittarius A star come out of the protogalaxy? Did it exist before the protogalaxy?
We don't know. We don't know. Sagittarius A star has 4 million times as much mass as the sun. It is a black hole. It marks the center, the very heart of our galaxy. Whether that big black hole was in the protogalaxy, we don't know. It's conceivable that the very first stars that formed in the protogalaxy, you know, some of them exploded and collapsed and formed black holes, and then those black holes merged, and maybe they those merging black holes gave rise to a more massive black hole that ultimately led to Sagittarius A star. But the truth is nobody knows.
We are in an arm of the Milky Way going at 900,000 kilometers per second, I learned from you.
However, per hour,
not as fast as per second. Yes, per hour. Now we're moving around the Milky Way. I think every quarter of a million years or 250 million years, some big number takes us to go around. Does the protogalaxy revolve around the center as we do?
That's a very interesting question and has a very interesting answer. What's interesting is in both this data, and also in an earlier paper published earlier this year in July, they actually see the Milky Way starting to spin up. Now, that's something that has to happen in any spiral galaxy. All spiral galaxies rotate fast. If you don't have rapid rotation, you can't be a spiral galaxy, okay? And originally, the Milky Way did not rotate. And in fact, the very, very oldest stars, the most metal-poor stars in this proto-galaxy, are not moving around the galactic center. Instead, they're diving into and out of it. And then as you get to slightly more metal-rich stars, i.e. slightly younger stars, you see more and more orbital motion around the galactic center. And as I quote one astronomer, this is the Milky Way trying to become a disk galaxy. In other words, spinning up and you know, a transition that every spiral galaxy has to go through in order to be a spiral galaxy.
We now have a collision that took place, you've taught me, 11 billion years ago, about give or take a billion years. That collision was a smaller galaxy. Did it disturb the proto-galaxy, to our knowledge?
According to this new work, no. If the proto-galaxy had been disturbed by that collision, it would have expanded. Okay, and the proto-galaxy is actually fairly compact, only 18,000 light years in diameter. For perspective, we are located 27,000 light years from the center of the Milky Way. The collision you referred to was probably the biggest collision in the Milky Way's history, and it supplied us with a lot of stars in the stellar halo, especially stars in the stellar halo that are in the solar neighborhood. And the reason that's very important is because we study those stars. Those stars have fairly low amounts of metals, and they tell us a lot about the very old days of the Milky Way, but not as old as the stars in the proto-galaxy. The stars in the proto-galaxy appear to be the very oldest in the entire Milky Way galaxy. And what's exciting is now that we've identified 18,000 of these stars, we can observe them further and learn more about the Milky Way's birth and its early evolution, which, again, is one of the main themes of my book, The Alchemy of the Heavens. I mean, it's kind of like, imagine if some of the founding fathers of the United States had managed to survive to the present day, and you identify them in and around, let's say, Philadelphia. You could interview them and ask them questions, learn things about that period of time. So what did you guys really mean by the Second Amendment? And likewise, we astronomers can now observe these stars further, and in particular, observe in further detail their chemical composition and their motions around the Milky Way to learn more about what was going on in the Milky Way 13 billion years ago.
One more detail, maybe several more. What is the thick disk and what is its relationship to the proto-galaxy?
The Milky Way is a disk galaxy. It actually has two disks. We're in what's called the thin disk, which is about 2,000 light years thick from top to bottom. There's an older disk called the thick disk. That's about 6,000 light years thick from top to bottom. It formed first before the thin disk. According to work that I wrote about in March on the Science News website, the thick disk formed surprisingly early, around 13 billion years ago. So it may have even overlapped some of the proto-galaxy in terms of age, although the proto-galaxy would have come before the thick disk, but the thick disk did not waste much time getting born. And so the thick disk continued to form stars for another 5 billion years, according to the work I wrote about in March, up until about 8 billion years ago. And then the thin disk took over.
And we're the thin disk, so we're a product of a product. In other words, I'm trying to get a chronology here. First, there's the Big Bang. Then there's this cluster of gas and stars that create the proto-galaxy. And then, I'm not sure of this, but then the thick disk, or the thick disk,
yes,
is coterminous,
yes,
and the thick disk is fertility. That creates stars, and we're a product of the thick disk?
We're a product of the thin disk. Okay, let me go through the chronology. The Big Bang, 13.8 billion years ago, and then the proto-galaxy emerged at some point, and it started to spin. And then perhaps 13 billion years ago, the thick disk started to form. And then 11 billion years ago, we had this big encounter with this other galaxy, and that stimulated star formation in the Milky Way. So that represents the peak star formation effect for our galaxy, the Milky Way. And the star formation rate afterward then declined. And about 8 billion years ago, the thick disk probably just ran out of gas. And then the galaxy started making stars in a thinner disk, the thin disk. And then we, the sun and the Earth, emerged 4.6 billion years ago, okay, in the thin disk. And here we are today.
Speculate.
0 years ago, having this conversation.
Yes, Dr. Ken Croswell, the author of The Alchemy of the Heavens. Ken has generously agreed to help us understand what happens next. What do the astronomers such as Ken want to know now that we've discovered the proto-galaxy? The article is in Science News, the beginning of the beginning of us. And when we come back, what is to learn from this proto-galaxy? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.